Good morning, everyone. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather to worship on this beautiful fall day. There is a register going around. If you get that, please sign so we know who you are and we can contact you and thank you for being here. We welcome everyone who's present that I can see and those as well that are online watching us on the video. The flowers over here by the pulpit, as you can see in the bulletin, are to celebrate the marriage of Michael Lanine and Laura Niemeyer that was held yesterday. He's the son, Michael's the son of Karen Lydin, and great congratulations to them. You'll see going ahead, we have a congregational meeting coming up at the end of October. Please note that. I'm just announcing that because that's part of the Constitution legality. Also, the nominations for next year's leadership team. So if you're so inclined and interested, please see one of the members of the leadership team. On the insert, you'll see we have some announcements. The shoes and socks collection that we're doing is through next Sunday. These are new shoes and socks to be distributed at Camp Washington or Washington UCC. But new ones, and as we've been telling you, it's all about the new socks and to make sure that these kids have shoes and socks at school and at home, especially when the weather gets to be a little more inclement, how important it is to have those. So please take note of that and help support. As you'll notice, if you can't go out and get shoes and socks, in today's world, it's a little harder to go to a store. Everybody buys online for the most part. So if you want to donate some cash or money, we'll take care of that as well. Right, Laura? Laura's sort of heading this over here. Okay. The Chosen is coming up. The next one is this coming Saturday. So all the dates are listed there. We try to keep it updated. But this coming Saturday is the next one. So please plan on being with us if you can. The discussion doesn't always go where we think it's going to go, but it's a good time together to talk a little bit about our faith in relation to what we see in the video as opposed to how we live today. Trunk or Treat's coming up in the middle of October. The dates and times are there. It's the 19th, 3 to 6. So please note, you do not have to be dressed and your car decorated to participate. As I've told you in the past, as long as you got chocolate, I'm happy. You can to do that, but we want to do something for the children in our community to let them know that we're here, so please do that. And just a notice coming up on the first Sunday in October, which is World Communion Sunday, is the special offerings for neighbors in need. So please take note of that, and that'll be happening that day. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day.
For all who are able, please stand and let us join together in the call to worship. Into your presence, we come together to offer ourselves for spiritual renewal. We turn to Christ who makes us into his image. As we forget our striving for affirmation, let us focus on the needs of others first. We come to one who embraced the little child. May we feel the love of Jesus embrace us as we worship God together. Let us join together in the prayer of adoration and confession. Glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, for allowing us to receive your Son, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of Man and Son of God, as our Lord and Savior. May this beautiful and mysterious gift fill us with wonder, awe, and appreciation. O Lord of hosts, you judge righteously and have tried our hearts and minds. We confess our corruption before you. We have failed to keep your commandments, to obey your law, or to follow your Son. We have deliberately been selfish when you desire us to be selfless. We have been unloving, even though you have been loving to us. O God, we are sorry for our corruption, and we pledge to stop those sins, to turn over to you, and to do what you require of us. Accept our confession and forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ, who gave us victory over sin and separation from you. Amen.
Hear the good news. God understands our sinful nature, our weaknesses, our failures, and the burden of these upon us. And God's understanding is full of mercy, and God in Christ has acted out of great love that we might be freed from ignorance and the evil effects of sin. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading this morning from Psalms 54. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For the insolent have risen against me, the ruthless seek my life. They do not set God before them. Selah. Be surely God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from James, chapter 3, verses 13, and chapter 4, verses 3, 7, and 8. Who is wise and knowledgeable among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant and lie about the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your craving that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your own pleasures. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we continue our reading in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to hear from the chapter 9, and it's verses 30 through 37. And the first paragraph is about Jesus, again, talking about his death and resurrection. And then the second paragraph is about the disciples discussing about who is the greatest. And for those of us, that was part of the Chosen video, the last time we met. That was part of that video of that discussion. So listen to these words from Mark. So they went on from there, and they passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands. They will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was reading an article the other day that was referring to a social media phenomenon called AMA, or means Ask Me Anything. And if I remember the article, I think it started on Reddit. Now it shows up in a lot of other places, but it typically involves someone famous for a lot of different reasons. Maybe what you and I don't understand is famous, but someone who invites the social media community into which they are involved to ask them anything, and they promise honest, candid answers. So when I read that, I thought about the text today. Imagine what it would be like for Jesus to return and have an Ask Me Anything question time. Wouldn't that be great? Ask Jesus anything. And if that were to happen, what questions would be asked? Well, I suppose one of the first questions would be, is it true that you really are the Son of God? And a follow-up question might be the one that we call a theodicy question. If you really are the Son of God, and if you really do love us, then why do you still allow so much suffering and evil in the world? I'm sure we'd all love to hear the answer to that one. Maybe someone would ask him when he plans to return for good, bringing heaven to earth, to put an end to all of this suffering and the pain and the death in our world. And I bet that list would go long. It'd almost be like the thing where you pull a roll of toilet paper down with your notes. I mean, the list is endless, endless of what could be asked Jesus. But perhaps one of the questions be the one that the disciples were too afraid to ask in the text today. Why did you have to suffer and die before being raised again? This text is almost identical to the one from last week, where Jesus is trying to prep the disciples for what's going to happen. The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and after 3 days being killed, he will rise again. And then the text says, well, they did not understand what he just said, were afraid to ask him. Afraid. Now, when I was being raised, I had teachers that would tell me that there's no such thing as a stupid question. You know, or the only stupid question is the one that you don't ask. And so the disciples maybe didn't have that kind of a background. So they didn't ask this important question because they were afraid. But what were they afraid of? And so if you and I are in those situations, I think, well, there are those times when I haven't felt, I haven't asked the question. Maybe it's because I'm afraid of the answer. Maybe I really don't want to know why. Maybe they didn't either. Maybe they were afraid of what it might mean to them when he answered. Maybe they felt like sometimes I did when I was still in college and seminary and sometimes still taking workshops. Maybe I should already know the answer. I just can't articulate it. They've been in his presence months, years, listening to his teaching. They should know why the Son of Man should be betrayed and killed and rise again, that you would think. Maybe they were afraid that if they asked the question, somehow that would bother Jesus or disturb him. Whatever the reason, they don't ask the question that's on their minds because they're afraid. I think it's the right question. I think they should have asked it. The reading from James talks about the questions, about asking. They're afraid to ask the right question, but when they do, they end up getting tangled up in the wrong question or questions. And that often is the problem when we ignore the question that we're afraid to ask. We get tangled up in the wrong question. We see it in the world. We see it in our lives. We seem to want to avoid asking the right question, the important question. And because of that, we get tangled up in the wrong question. It happens over and over and over again all the time. So in the gospel text, they don't ask the right question, so they get tangled up in the wrong question, which is, who is the greatest among them? Who is the greatest disciple? Wrong questions, obviously. So they get to Capernaum. Jesus says, I really need to figure out what they're going on. So he's going to ask them about the debate. What were you arguing about on the way? I could hear you back there yakking away. What were you talking about? And they were silent. We've all been in that kind of situation. You know, you throw the question out and nobody says a thing. But Jesus knew, and so he answers the question. Whoever wants to be great must serve, and whoever wants to be first must willing to be last. And he takes a child, places it among them, someone who has not been following Jesus. And in that culture, at least first century, this child doesn't have a whole lot of place, not a great thing. Children in first century were there to be seen, not heard, and basically be part of the workforce. And so he says, if you want to be great, you got to be welcoming this child in his name. So the question that story leaves me with is, what if the disciples were willing to ask the question that was really on their minds? This question of why their hoped-for Messiah has to go through this suffering and die and be raised? I was thinking, when I think about it, it's always great in hindsight to look back, but if they would have asked the question, wouldn't that help them to better understand what Jesus is up to, bring them closer to him in this journey that they're on, to understand that they too were being told that they should be taking up their cross as well, that they were being invited to lose their lives for the sake of the gospel, to understand their presence in the world in a better way? Wouldn't that conversation have made the argument that they were having among themselves to be very silly? Why are they talking about who's the greatest, when really we need to know why God's Son must die on a cross? Sometimes asking the right question is just as important as finding the right answer. David Tracy has said, real religion does not give final answers. It makes us ask better questions. So I spent my life, my faith journey life, you know, asking questions. You know, I was raised a certain way. I went to a Baptist college and was told what was right and wrong, and I said, why? I always ask the questions, and you have to ask, isn't there a better way? Isn't there another way? And I think questions are important. Scientific discoveries throughout this world have been made because someone kept asking the questions and finally asked the right question. But it could also change life on a smaller scale, at home, at work, at school, at church. Ask the right questions. If it's important to ask the right questions, why it should be that much more important that if we have an opportunity to ask the right question of our Creator, would we not ask it? And maybe that's the question we're afraid to ask. Because not asking the question might be affecting our relationship with God in a lot of different ways that we might not even notice. One thing I've learned about the Bible, about God's Word, it clearly tells me there's no question that we can ask of God that is out of bounds. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No stupid question, except the one we don't ask. And part of my faith journey and my understanding of who Jesus is has to really do with Holy Week. And we all know the story. And Jesus ends up on the cross. And we have what we call the seven last words. And one of the questions that Jesus asks in the darkest moment of his life, my God, why hast thou forsaken or abandoned me? Why would Jesus ask that? He knew. He'd been telling these guys, right? He's been telling them, and this is what's going to happen. Now it's happening. And he calls out. That's part of my attraction to Jesus, because in that moment, he's like me. He's human. And he understands what I understand. But this is Jesus. And so I want to know, did he not understand? So he asked the question. It seems that he's maybe admitting he's not to be doing this. But in a way, it's similar to the question that the disciples were afraid to ask Jesus in the text today. The main reason Jesus asked the question, why, God, have you abandoned me? Why? And it seems if Jesus can ask God, you and I can ask God. There are no out-of-bounds questions. But the critical thing you need to look at when Jesus asks the question, he starts off, my God. He asks the question, but he's not giving up on his relationship with God. Sometimes I think that's where we fault. It's giving up on our relationship with God. We ask God the tough questions, but we ask those because of our faith, not despite it. We have faith, therefore we ask. So if I go back to the beginning of my sermon, then I wonder, did Jesus get his answer when he talked to God? I'm sure he did somewhere along the way. But God did not abandon. He didn't abandon Jesus. He doesn't abandon us as well. We're all in this together. And so that teaches us that we need to ask the question or questions all the time. And the answer may not come right away. I know that. We all know that. And it may not even come in my lifetime. But I ask the questions because I will believe they will be answered sometime. I really don't know if there's an ask me anything room in heaven. I'm just sort of imagining that. But I believe there will come a time when all the questions will be fully answered. And I'm looking forward to that day. But in the meantime, I'm called to live by faith. And that means I need to ask the question and the questions and then patiently wait for an answer. But go back to the text real quick, and it says that the disciples were afraid Why must you suffer and die? And they argued about who was the greatest. If they would have asked the question, how different that conversation would have been when they got to Capernaum. So I'm just wondering that if we were thinking about this week, asking the questions, would our greatness, would it matter who we are in relation to somebody else? Does it really matter? At the end of the day, it's about our relationship with God. And when we find ourselves spending more time serving God and others, if we were thinking and asking the questions, will something else become more important than what we think is important? Maybe our faith would actually become stronger because we were willing to ask the hard questions. So I guess I'm just asking you this week, when you take time, however it is in your faith journey life, what do you do? Devotions? Do you pray? Do you read an Upper Room devotional? I mean, maybe you watch, I know some of us watch videos, you still, however you get that information, do you take time to say, okay, I need to ask God a question? But we do it in faith because we are believers, trusting that someday God will respond to us because we're in the faith. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is entitled Trusting God. I don't remember where I got it. I have a lot of resources, but it's in the back of our book of worship. I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand as we affirm our faith together and stay standing for our next hymn. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer, you'll notice, as always in the bulletin, there are the prayer list, the homebound person of the week, birthdays and anniversaries, to remember the homebound and those who are in hospice care, of all those kinds of things as well. You'll also notice that there are, we've started listing the Northern Kentucky UCC ministers. We decided we would start praying for two churches every week. And then on the fifth Sunday, we would pray for all of us, all the churches, and they'll be listed there. So this week is St. Mark's UCC in Latonia, where Rachel Wearig is the pastor, and St. John's in Covington, where Jim Hill is a licensed lay minister. And as we talk about that, we have a contingent of folks who are from Grace UCC in Fort Wright. My friend Mark Roeder's on vacation or at a conference or doing something, and they decided to come and be with us because they didn't want to go sit in an empty church without Mark. So we're glad they're here. And we have connections. I was talking with some of them before. So if you're in the United Church of Christ in Greater Cincinnati, there are connections all over the place. So we're glad they're here. Kelly's not here, but Kelsey's surgery went well last week. So she wanted us to let that know. Two families that we need to remember. As we all know, Reverend Henry Marksberry passed. And last Wednesday, we had a great funeral service here. Dan Weingeisi and I and the rabbi were able to participate, and all the other members that did it, the music. Thank you for those of you who attended. The family was appreciative that we were opened our doors for Henry to have his service here. And we have to thank Robert. He had gotten and inherited an audio of Henry reading the 23rd Psalm, which we played as we did that. So it was great to hear his voice again, and we did that. Yesterday, I attended a funeral for another colleague of mine, Reverend Susan Duker. She was a Presbyterian minister. And when I was in the early 2000s at St. Peter and St. Paul, she had been the interim at St. John's United Church of Christ in Delhi. And they were going through a process of becoming St. John's Westminster Union Church, which is a UCC Presbyterian combination. And I was part of that process with her. I taught the session, the Presbyterian Council, Politics 101 in the United Church of Christ, of how that's supposed to be. And then I ended up going there in 16 for a while, doing what I do with you. And then I was back again. Then Sherry was there, and then Sherry left. And then I went again for a little bit before I came back to you. And so now they have a brand new spanking rookie pastor right out of seminary who conducted the funeral. He did a great job. And he's going to ask me to preach at his installation sermon on the last Sunday of October. So life goes on. But it's hard when we lose colleagues, but I gained a new one. And we do that. Are there any other joys or concerns from this community of faith? Anybody behind me? Because I can't. We good? If not, there are always those things that lay upon our minds and our hearts. What's going on in the world, what's going on in our communities, what's going on in our own personal lives that we don't always talk about, but is very important to lift to God. So as we prepare to come before God this day, let us focus down as we always do. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then to let it out. Breathe in, God. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Oh God, as we have gathered together today, we offer our prayers, we offer our words, we offer our music, we offer our silence, and we pray that you will move among us. You will quiet our distractions. We will be able to hear your truth. We pray that your Spirit moves over the deeps of our souls, bring light into our lives, that we might be able to reflect the glory to those who are suffering and searching. We thank you, God, that in those moments when we have asked and you have answered, You allow us to understand who we are in this world. May we be those people you have called us to be as people of faith, to share with others peace and love and grace and a mercy. May we be like sometimes we talk about a radiator that we can take the light into us and we can share it with others to allow them to know they are not alone in their journey. And sometimes, oh God, standing in a place that's hard, it's like bearing a cross. To share with them what is important, confident in our faith, grounded in our belief and our understanding of you and your Son, Jesus the Christ. And so, God, as we have decided among the Northern Kentucky clergy to expand the work of the church, we pray for our sister churches, that we might be able to reach others in ways that they might not be able to be reached, to hear the gospel. And that together we can minister, we can share, we can assist in the ministries we can't do on our own. That there may be those who are touched by our lives. There are those that we pray for this day. There are those who are mourning. There are our sister churches. There are those who are recovering from surgery, those who continue to be in facilities and in hospice and under care, whether with their loved ones or with a staff. We pray for this world and the situations that are within it. We pray especially for the leaders of the countries as they decide. Give them a sense of compromise and understanding. We pray for those of us in this space and those who are listening to me on decisions that may need to be made, things that we don't voice aloud, knowing that you will be with us. So we offer this prayer to you, O God, in sure and certain hope that you hear us all. In the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The wonderful works of God surround us. How will we show our gratitude? The generosity of God exceeds all our limits. How will our manner of life reflect the abundance of God's mercy? Surely our offerings are one measure of our response. The ushers may now come forward.
Thank you.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Oh God, we offer these gifts to you to be dedicated to your use. We also offer ourselves, O God, with great expectations of receiving your wisdom, peace, reason, mercy, and good fruits. We offer you our sincerity as those who work for you in this world. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we were challenged to ask the right question, whatever that is for you in your journey of faith. Sometimes it's hard, but it challenges us to remind us of what we believe and why we're here and why we want to be Christians. There are people out there that need to hear the good word. Share it with them that they too may come to know what it is to have an understanding of God and our world. So until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.